the last weekend, final weekend here with before we get to the trade deadline. So, I want to throw a couple things at you. First of all, one of the words, and I've talked about this a lot with the Yankees here, is that, and it bothers me and it drives you nuts, and it's been like this for years, no accountability, right? No accountability. And quite frankly, to be fair, it's really the opposite, the Mets. Like, the Mets have, and this even goes back to little moves like Joey Wendell. All right, you're not playing well, get lost. And the most recent move, Francisco Alvarez, all right, you're not where you should be, we're going to send you down. So the way the Mets are operating right now is very different from the way the Yankees are operating, which I find very interesting. But the accountability, you know, young guys, you know, butchering things on the bases, all the mistakes, Dominguez in the outfield, just a circus on so many levels, and there's never really any repercussions. You get run back out there the next day, you're still on the team, you're not sent down, you don't get chewed out. It bothers us, right? Well, now we're at a point where I think it's the exact opposite is also being tested. So follow me on this. So when you do, and I don't mean having an 0-for-4 night, that's baseball, but when you do something that's substandard and you're not penalized for it, that unfortunately recently has become the Yankee way. Well, now the other test on the complete opposite side of the coin is what happens when you do your job at a level that is unquestionably as good as it could possibly be. I don't know how much you've dug into the recent history or even the not too recent history of some of the Yankees minor leaguers. Now, I'm not sitting there saying I'm doing the research, but I saw a bunch of things yesterday on social media. Spencer Jones, nobody in the history of the Yankees has had a better run at AAA. So if you're not going to penalize the kids for not playing well or making dumb mistakes, how in the world do you not reward a young player for, you know, proving that he shouldn't be in AAA anymore? Here's what I'm doing. Here's what I would do. So, I have to always preface this with what I would do versus what I think that they would do. They're probably not doing this. Here's what I would do. I would trade Trent Grisham. He's a free agent, okay? I know that Evan and Tiki were talking about Trent to the Mets. I don't even know whether it's a Met Yankee. It's not. That's not going to happen. That's definitely not going to happen. But, I mean, it will be interesting. Trade Trent Grisham. His contract is up. That opens up a spot for Dominguez in center because I would never play him in left field, at least not for a while. And I put Spencer Jones in left field. Problem solved. What's so hard about that? What's so hard about that? Now, they will never do that because that requires them leaning on young players and doing uncomfortable things and whatever. Not going to happen. Why in the world shouldn't the Yankees do that? Trade Trent Grisham for Dylan Cease. That's out there. Dylan Cease is available. You know, you hope Luis Gil comes back, and he's on the mend here, obviously. And you hope when he comes back, there's no interruptions. But you don't know where this blister with Max Fried takes him. It's funny. I'm watching the game the other night. His hand is bleeding. And Boone in the press conference to say, no, he's fine. I don't think that's that common for hands to bleed during a baseball game from a pitching perspective. So I would trade, and Grisham's been good. I would trade him. You get another starter, you put Dominguez where he should be, and call up the young man. What's so hard about that? Let's go. And any move, by the way, now, this applies to the Mets too, but it really has to apply to the Yankees. We'll get these calls going, 888-808-1019. I know you guys are jacked up. As much as we complain about the baseball, you know, when there's no baseball, it's torture. Although I was able to just immerse myself in about an hour straight of YouTube, you know, Hulk Hogan highlights, some of the great interviews, some of the great moments. So that was actually, if there's ever a good time not to play baseball, last night wasn't the worst time because I got a lot of YouTube stuff in with Hulk. But I think anything that the Yankees do, if they don't bring in somebody who is buttoned up and highly efficient on defense, then they're just even more lost than I think that they might be. I mean, I don't want Suarez. All right, we've all danced around this. Oh, Suarez. Suarez can hit, you know, 7-8 home runs in a month or so. I understand that. He can boot 7 or 8 balls. He's in the 4th percentile in range, which means if it's not hit right at him, he's not even getting leather on it. And even when he does get leather on it, there's no guarantee he's making the play. I don't want Suarez at all. You want him, Met fans? You have him. Seattle, you want him? Whatever. If somebody else wants Suarez, take him. So to me, I'm in a very simple place here. The Yankees should trade. And I said 3 weeks ago, let me see, vacation, this week. I guess it was about 2.5, 3 weeks ago. I got on this station and I said that the Yankees should sell. And people laughed at me. The mock tweets and the mock this and the mock responses on social media. Not that I care, but I see a little bit of it because it comes at me on my timeline sometimes when you send me stuff. And I stand by that. Like, a lot of it was, well, you're going to sell it. And when you hear the word sell, you know, you think stripping it down, winning 77 games, and just punting. I never said that. What I said was there's a way to strip down and still, you know, push forward and try to strike that good balance of fixing it for once and for all and getting rid of dead weight, getting rid of guys who weren't on the contract, getting rid of guys who were sloppy, defensively deficient, strike out all the time, and maybe build yourself a bit of a better team while also kind of restructuring, which is we all know the Yankees absolutely need to do. Now, I'm not saying that I want to see the Mets bring in a bunch of butchers either, but I feel like there's less of a need for the Mets not to make a move. Mets absolutely need to get a bat. Stand by that. But I don't want to say that I'm less concerned with the Mets getting, you know, good, efficient baseball players. But to me, with the Mets, it's less glaring. Like, their base running is not really that much of an issue. You know, they're not that they've got, you know, A-plus gold glovers everywhere. They don't. But you watch the Yankees, and you just see a circus. You watch the Mets, and you see too many nights where the offense isn't doing much, and too many nights where the bullpen's blowing leads when they have one. But you don't see a sloppy, disjointed team. You don't see it. I'm not saying they never boot the ball. They're human. But there's a big difference. There's a stark difference in the presentation of the Yankees and the Mets. So while both teams need multiple moves and both teams are getting ready to make multiple moves, the type of player the Yankees bring in should be different than what the Mets bring in. That's it. But this is the final weekend. So enjoy what you have, because I can promise you from a Yankee perspective, try to enjoy what you have now, because there is no way either team is going to trot out like what both teams trot out tonight. That's not what they're trotting out in the playoffs if both teams get there. All right, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Sal is off. We're back together on Monday. We'll get these calls here. Our friends at Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Justin Floral Park. What's happening, Justin?
BT, happy Friday, brother.
All right, man, you too. Let's go.
Could not agree with you more, man. I mean, let's make some moves here as a Yankee fan, okay? It's time to get rid of some of this dead weight. And, BT, we got to improve the defense. Okay, got to put a little pressure on the corners, you know, the middle side of the infield. I'm telling you, Volpe has gone completely a 180 here.
Wow.
Since the World Series.
Yep.
I mean, listen, I still believe he's young, but I would like to bring in a guy, you know, even if it's IKF, bring him back. I'm not going to cost you much. I know they keep talking about Hayes from the Pirates. Don't love him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you. I don't think Suarez is the answer because he strikes out too much.
No.
Terrible defensively, BT.
No.
Terribly.
Horrendous.
You got to get another arm in here because I still do not trust Rondon in a big spot. I just don't.
I'm with you.
You saw him spit the bit against Toronto.
I agree.
I don't trust him in the playoffs.
I agree.
Got to get an arm here. I'm with you. Cease, maybe change the scenery. He could maybe pitch better here. If you're giving up Grisham, I'm for it because that means Spencer Jones has a chance to be on the squad. I mean, will the Yankees do it, though, BT? Because Cashman loves to hold on to these prospects and not give up anything. So will he finally do it? I mean, BT, how many years are we going to waste a Judge? How many years? We already wasted another year of Cole now that he's hurt.
No.
How many more years are we going to waste a Judge?
Well, I mean, to be fair, they didn't get to the World Series a year ago, so they didn't waste last year. But I listen, of course I get your premise, because I've been saying this for the last couple of years, going back to Garrett Cole. I'm sitting here saying, guys, it's criminal. I mean, as good as CeCe Sabathia was, and as good as, you know, Pettit was, and Coney when they brought him in back in the day, you know, we've seen some Clemens, we've seen some great Yankee pitchers. David Wells had great moments. El Duque, I don't think I've ever seen, and obviously Max Fried's been very good this year. It's tailed off a bit, but the Yankees have had a lot of good pitchers. As much as they frustrate us with the prospect hugging, like the Yankees hug prospects like hippies hug trees back in the 60s and 70s. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's got to end. But I do think that when I look at somebody like Garrett Cole, and somebody like, now it's different with Cole because of the surgery, he's getting older, whatever, but I've been saying this for years. Well, we're wasting primes. We're wasting primes of arguably the best Yankee pitcher I've ever seen outside of Mo. Didn't see prime Guidry, you know. I know what he did in 78. You know, and obviously I mentioned a few other names out of respect here, but there's nobody that could tell me. I know he got blitzed by the Red Sox in a wild card. I get it. It happens. Andy Pettitte got shellacked in game one of the 96 World Series, gave up two home runs to Andrew Jones. Great pitchers get rocked, all right? But in terms of the totality of his 30-plus starts since he got here, I haven't seen anybody better than Gerrit Cole. They wasted a bunch of his years, too. So this, they just wasted so many years, and it's so frustrating. Now, is there an absolute out here? Is there an absolute safety net? I honestly don't know the answer to that. But I'll tell you this. If they could deviate from the norm and if they could break away from their comfort level, and that means trade a couple of prospects, that means sell a couple of pieces, get rid of Goldschmidt, put Bellinger at first, trade Grisham, put Dominguez in center, call up Spencer Jones. Give it a shot. Give it a shot. 888-808-1019. John is in Mahwah. BT and Sal on the fan. What up, John?
Hey, BT. How are you? Great show. You and Sal are great together.
We appreciate that. Thank you, dude.
Listening to your take on trading Grissom, you're weakening the defense by putting Dominguez in center. Why not just send him down and bring up Spencer Jones to play left? He's not tearing it up.
Yeah.
You know, just why weaken it? Why weaken a defense for a kid that needs more
seasoning. Well, it's actually a very interesting point there. I hear you. Listen, if Grisham had two more years to go on his contract, I wouldn't be saying this. He's a free agent. And somebody's going to give him, you know, he's got this year $5 million. I think Grisham probably gets a two-year deal with an option for, I mean, not crazy money, but probably more than the Yankees have the appetite to spend, I would think, based on all the other expenditures. So I would trade him now.
BT, don't you want to win this year? He's on a one-year deal.
I want to win this year, but they're not going to win this year if they don't do the right things. They have no chance to win this year. This is not a World Series team. None. And by the way, right now, neither are the Mets, but the Yankees will win nothing if they don't do radical stuff.
All right. BT, have a great day.
All right, buddy.
Happy Friday, brother.
Yeah, you too, John. Appreciate it. I mean, I don't think that that's exactly breaking news, nor do I think that that's a ridiculously cavalier statement. Yankees are going to win the World Series? This team? I mean, we focus on the issues here. You know, chapter and verse, the defense, the base running, this. You know, you got three catchers. You got no third baseman. You have 2.5 first basemen. What the hell's... You have one shortstop? And right now, and I love Volpe, but right now you have a half a shortstop, or at least a broken shortstop. You know, middle relief stinks. And even a few of the constants here, this is where I get really worried. Even a few of the constants are showing signs of going in the wrong direction. And I don't mean Judge, who has been very, very cold for a while, but I'm talking about more about Max Fried. You know, I'm going to attribute it to the blister because he is a stud, but Max Fried, April and May, first part of June, you know, right there with Schuble for the Cy Young since, And it's not like one bad start. 888-808-1019. We got Tom in Cold Spring on the fan, BT and Sal. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, I just got a point about what you said about bringing Spencer Jones up. I'm not inherently against that.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it's going to make a difference at all defensively, because if you look at all the players that they brought up, with the exception of like Judge and maybe like Tyler Wade, Volpe stunk on defense. Dominguez stinks on defense. Gary stunk on defense, Clint Frazier and Duhar. That's just not something that they're teaching down in the minor leagues. I think Spencer Jones is going to stink just as much as everyone else.
No.
If you move Dominguez to center, I think he's going to stink too.
All right, well,
because they don't teach defense.
Well, let's have a conversation. He might stink. He might not only stink in the field, he might come up here and hit a .190 and strike out 38% of the time. I have no idea what's going to happen. But I tell you what, you know, when you play the way he's played at AAA and you're 24, not 19 or 20, I mean, it is without justification not to reward this young man soon. All right, so having said that, one thing that I don't do, you know, and this kind of ties into the Jets, and this is just a personal philosophy, but you seem to do the other thing. Just because one organization does something bad or has a bunch of bad luck, like to me, that's not terminal. So just because most of the young players are not good or not plus defenders doesn't mean Spencer Jones is going to fall, you know, victim to the same fate. I think that that's ridiculous to think that.
I don't know. I'm going by the old definition of insanity bit that you hear all the time. I've heard John Boy talk about this. I think the Yankees should trade their top prospects for other teams' top prospects because there's something terminally wrong with their farm system.
Yeah, yeah.
They need players who haven't grown up in this broken Yankee system. Like, look at Cody Bellinger.
Yeah. Well, that part, you know, I say it tongue-in-cheek. I'm talking about Lombard. And, hey, listen, we think Lombard's going to be great, but since he's in the Yankee system, you know, I see why you would say he's not going to be, so just do it now and avoid the anguish later, trade him for somebody else's top prospect, wash your hands, the guy that we get will be amazing, and then Lombard will go somewhere and stink. I mean, I know you're saying that, or he's saying that, I think, tongue-in-cheek, but that is no way to run a franchise. The way, and this is not going to change today, guys, this is not going to change tomorrow, it's probably not even going to change this offseason, no matter what happens, let's be honest. But the way it does change is you overhaul the way you do business at the minor league level, organizationally, you know? That's it. Because it's really the same stuff that just keeps happening. You know, fundamentally broken players coming up. I don't know what they do down there in A-ball and rookie camp. I don't know. But what, and I know that they're working hard. It's not that they're lazy, but you can do bad work, you know? It's funny, I was telling my son the other day, I'm like, don't practice for 2 hours. It's a waste of time. Practice the right way for 45 minutes. Get it in, go out, jump in a pool. You don't have to languish out there in the heat for 2 hours. Just do it right. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal here on The Fan. All right, I heard something on the station yesterday, and this is for the Met fan out there, that I've got to throw by you. Just got to ask the question. Got to do a little probing here. I'll do that coming up as well. Before you know, fall's going to be here, so I do have a little something on Aaron Glenn. Not so much on Justin Fields, but an observation with Aaron Glenn yesterday. And, you know, back to these calls here. Obviously, baseball here on the show to start. 888-808-1019. It's a good night for the Met fan in this regard, where you have the late start. Beautiful ballpark, too. That's my favorite ballpark, San Francisco. Absolutely gorgeous. Hoff, have you been there, by the way? Have you seen a game with the Giants? Whatever.
No, I haven't actually been out there yet.
It's had like five different names, like Monster.com, Pac Bell, and AT&T. I don't even know what it's called now, but Oracle maybe. I don't even know. But it's absolutely gorgeous. I mean, because you've got the views of the Bay Bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge, Alcatraz. Just a phenomenal spot to see a game. So because it's a late start, you know, the Met fan, who I know you wanted to play yesterday because you're coming off that sweep and you're starting to get the act together, like, you know, Lindor and Pete, see what happens if they're about to take off those two. But you can now do a little scouting as well with the late start. You can scout on those Phillies and also give the Yankees the horns, as you often like to do. Although, this is what I want to raise. So I was not aware of this. Dove and Hoffy were setting up the show this morning, and they were telling me that. So it came up. I don't know if Evan brought it up. Somebody brought it up. And, you know, hey, Yankees, Phillies, you're a Mets fan. Who are you rooting for? I mean, it's the easiest question in the world to me. You're rooting for the Yankees. I mean, you want to win the division. I mean, and then I was told, who is it, Loogie's rooting for the Phillies? Rooting for the Phils? There's no way. I don't believe that. He said that, Dove? No way.
Yes, he did.
Did he really? So, all right, so let me get this straight. So the Mets and the Phillies, this thing very well might go down to the last weekend of the season. Because you know the Mets are making trades, and you know the Phillies will. They are always active. So, unfinished products, both good teams, both imperfect teams, but they'll both be there at the end. You're a Mets fan, and you're sitting there rooting for the Phillies. You lose the division by a game. Yankees sweep the Phillies. What the hell does that accomplish? I mean, don't you have to get a little separation from this old Yankee Met thing? I mean, I think there's a time and a place to do it. Hell, I mean, even going back to, and I don't know, outside of the Red Sox with Pedro and those guys, Zimmer, oh, man. Outside of them, probably the greatest distaste and the most disdain that I've ever had for another team is the Patriots. You know, the whole Belichick thing and all that stuff. And if you told me that the Patriots were playing whomever, well, Patriots were playing the, whatever the exact parallel would be, and I would have to put aside my hate for the Patriots for the betterment of the Jets, I'd wear a Patriots hat during the game if I had to. To me, that's a no-brainer. What? I mean, you're a Mets guy. It's Yankees all the way this weekend. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls here. We got Richard up in Connecticut, Stratford, Connecticut. BT and Sal. What up, Rich?
BT, you know, I love talking to you because you're about as much a Yankee fan as I am. I mean, I know the minor leagues. I know. I follow everything about the Yankees.
Okay.
And we both know that nothing is going to change until they change Cashman. Nothing.
I agree. Pretty much.
Okay. But my whole point for this conversation is I don't care who they go out and get and rape their farm system. They're not a championship caliber team. Okay? There's like 10 teams that are better than them right now. They're so inconsistent.
No, no,
they're not
10.
Fun to watch.
No, that's not, well, they're not fun to watch right now, but I don't think there's 10 teams better than the. Let's not be unfair. But I get your point.
Okay. Here's my point. I think the Yankees should be sellers this year.
I said that 2 weeks ago.
Okay. I just don't think what they have wrong can be fixed. You know?
I do know.
I don't want them to trade Jones. I don't want them to trade
Lombard.
Hess or anything else.
Yep. Yep.
But be sellers. Gut the team. You got a $300 million payroll, and you start the season with no third baseman, no leadoff hitter.
That's amazing.
You've gone through the no left-handed power.
Yeah.
I mean, give me a break.
You know, it's funny you say about the left-handed power, Rich, and thanks for the call. They're not going to gut the team. Like, there's a little nuance there. Like, selling and gutting the team are two different things. I said I would sell, and I told you I would sell Grisham tonight. I would trade him. Trade him, put Dominguez in center, put Jones in left, see what you got. If he was under contract and Grisham was, it's a different story. He's not. So I would trade him. And he's had a really good year. But I think when, and this goes back to, let's see, obviously pre-Gallo, there was a point, like I feel like there's always something, at least in the last 10 years or so, that is so glaringly wrong with this team that it's embarrassing. Like going back years ago, I remember sitting here saying like, how the hell do the Yankees not have any left-handed hitters? How? I mean, you go back, their entire history is littered. Of course, Mick was a switch hitter, but I mean, anytime the Yankees won championship, and DiMaggio was a righty, but anytime you won championships, like bunches of championships, you had multiple lefties with massive influence on the lineup. I mean, Reggie and Nettles, those are two that jump right off the page, right? From the 70s. And then obviously in the 80s were brutal. But you had Mattingly, who was amazing. But in the 90s, now here come the Tinos. And here's Bernie as a switch hitter. Here's Posada, a little deeper into the 90s, as a switch hitter. Here's Paul O'Neill as a lefty. Like, there was actually a point where Brett Gardner, no disrespect, I love Brett Gardner. Brett Gardner was the chief source of lefty power for the Yankees. And to me, that's just absolutely unacceptable when you look out and 314 feet away, there's a blue fence screaming, hey, get a lefty. I'm a pretty attractive target over here. So back then, it was the dearth of lefty hitters. Now it's an absence of a third baseman. It's wild. It's wild how there's always something that is like such a gaping hole that we are yelling about for them to address. I don't get it. I really don't. Again, Angel up in the Bronx. What's going on, man? How are you?
BT, good to hear from you on this lovely Friday morning. How you doing?
I'm good. I said it right. I gave you Angel, right?
Angel, Angel, whatever you like, brother. No worries.
I got you.
First off, I just want to commend on how eloquent you are. I enjoy your use of vocabulary. I'll just get that out of the way.
Oh, thank you.
What I do want to speak about, I've heard O'Neill Cruz's name linked to the Mets for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get your opinion. I'm kind of torn because the guy can flat out hit. He plays center field, former shortstop.
Yep.
The guy's 6'7". Only problem I don't like, I don't know if he's a real clubhouse guy. He strikes out a lot. He kind of has this attitude problem that I've seen this season. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
I mean, his tools are just ridiculous, man. My first reaction is intrigued, okay? Now,
dang.
He strikes out more than Suarez. You know, he strikes out almost 32% of the time. 32.
It's hit or miss, literally. Like, that's, if you want to describe O'Neal Cruz, it's hit or miss. But I also feel like we kind of have a similar player in Mauricio in the terms of he's lanky. The guy can hit. He can hit really far, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing is he plays the infield.
Yeah, I know. I know. Angel, you know what it is, too? I do like O'Neal. I'm calling him Angel O'Neal, Angel Cruz. I do like O'Neal Cruz in the right situation. Number one, his tools are off the charts. But, you know, if you get him in a Mets lineup, right, and you have the Soto influence, you know, who knows how that rubs off on him from a patience and, you know, a pitch recognition perspective. You've got, you know, hopefully Lindor's getting ready to bust out of it. Couple of hits the other day. Pete's obviously had a good season. You know, McNeil knows how to handle the bat in the strike zone. McNeil does. So but you look at this, and I mean, there's just a lot of attractive things. And I know not all of you are into this, but let me just give you the quick thumbnail sketch. Right now, and I'm looking at it, he is in the 93 percentile in sprint speed, elite. He is in the 81 percentile in range, elite, in terms of outs above replacement. He's in the 80% in terms of arm value. He's in the 100 percentile for arm strength. He's in the 100 percentile for bat speed. And he's in the 90 percentile for walk rate. So while he strikes out a ton, he walks a ton. Yeah, I'm intrigued. I that's a name that I've looked at. The Pirates look like they're ready to strip down. You know, what would they want to satisfy that? But I think if you get him in the right situation, and again, that Soto influence very well might be the right situation, I think the Mets will be nuts not to look at him. 888-808-1019. So obviously the Yankees, I've given you some solutions. We could all complain. I mean, anybody could do that. Gets old after a while, gets a little tired. One of my solutions is trade Grisham, bring up Jones, put Dominguez in center, see what happens. And the other thing is, you know, apparently there are some Met fans out there rooting for the Phillies this weekend. So the distaste for the Yankees gets in the way of the bigger prize. That, to me, is astonishing. And I find that nuts. John's down in Myrtle Beach. John, BT and Sound on the Fan. What's happening, John?
Hey, BT. What's going on, man? Awesome show.
Thank you.
I got 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
One is, if you're a real Mets fan and you're not rooting for the Yankees, then you're a poser, man. You have to root for the Yankees over the Phillies.
No, hold on. That's my mindset, but I don't think you're a fake Mets fan. Like, you know, Lugie's the one who said this. I think he's a big time great Mets fan. I just think he's got the wrong vision this week, and he's rooting for the wrong team.
You know, maybe he was hitting surf sides a little too hard or something.
We've all been there.
It's not the Marlins. If it's the Marlins, yeah, go Marlins, right?
Yeah.
It's the Phillies. I mean, come on.
I hear you.
Come on.
Yeah.
All right, but so let me ask you a question. I'm pretty sure I know what your answer is going to be. I've been having arguments with some of my buddies. If Stearns, and by the way, it would be a failure if he only got one player.
Yep.
Let's make believe he only gets one player.
Agreed.
I've been saying that. I got so many people saying arm, but we have pitchers that we could slide into bullpen roles.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually. You know, or bring up one. Bring up one of the kids. I would go for center field personally, because I think over the long haul, McNeil's going to get exposed out there.
I agree with that.
Just my gut.
He's not a pure center fielder. He's okay,
right.
But no, I'm with you. I'm with you. Well, I mean, look at it this way here, John, and I appreciate the call down from Myrtle. Love Myrtle Beach. Probably went there 15 straight years, whatever it was, on the golf trip. I think I played every single course. And hit every single place. You know what I mean? I would say that the thought for the Mets is, the conventional thought is two bullpen arms, higher leverage, right? And what I've been saying is you need a bat. A real bat, like center field bat. You know, third base is a little less urgent because Brett Beatty suddenly the last 14 games is hitting about 335 or 340 with an OPS over 1,000. He's game slowing down for him, all right? I'm with you. You know, McNeil in center field in October, don't love it. I just don't. Especially if Mimmo's in left. I just don't. I don't like that. I think that the ability to satisfy what the Mets need, here's the unconventional roadmap here. All right. So I'm telling you, get a bat, and we all think that they're going to make these trades for middle relievers. Well, to the last caller's point, you know, maybe you bring up a Sprout, or you punt to Holmes to the bullpen, and maybe you do go out and get that big bat. And with Raleigh back, and obviously Diaz, you know, and you know, a few others that are good. I mean, not all-time amazing, lockdown, no questions, no beads of sweat building up as they enter the game, like Reed Garrett, et cetera. But I think they've got enough, because I really do. I love the front of the Mets rotation. How do you not love the top three? How do you not love it? Now, Senga got knocked around the other day. All right, let's hope that that's just a little bit of an outlier. You know, it's baseball. So you have Manaea, you've got Senga, you've got Peterson. Boom, boom, boom. That's good. That is really good. And if you feel comfortable enough with what's out there and you think the better avenue to make your team better, like a real aggressive move, and the plays to get the bat, whether it's at third or at center, well, then you could put Holmes in the bullpen, as I said. You can pull up one of these young kids. And there's a way to work around that. It doesn't have to be conventional. And this is where I think it gets so interesting for Stearns. So interesting. We already know what Cashman is and who he is. What he does great, what he's bad at, what he's in between at. He is aggressive. We know that. We know that. There's really nothing that can happen with Cashman unless they did nothing. This trade deadline, which there's 0% chance that happens. That would stun me. Really. And like, unless they fired the manager like midseason, like that would stun me because the Yankees don't do that. I think that Stearns, we are very much still in the evaluation phase as a New York GM. We know, hey, he's got stripes in Milwaukee. He's won. He's drafted well. He's developed well. He's made some good moves here as well. Yeah, it's funny. A lot of people don't want to give Stearns any credit, you know, because Pete was here and, you know, Soto, that was all Cohen with the money, the personalization, Alex Cohen, Lindor was obviously here, Nimmo was here, McNeil was here, Diaz was here, blah, blah, blah. But this is where I defend Stearns and give him more credit than maybe some of you have, at least as you portrayed to me when you call up. Like, if you don't have Manaea last year, you're not a playoff team. If you don't have Iglesias a year ago, you're not a playoff team. So let's be fair to Stearns. I think he's been good. Not great, good. And now we have to see if he can kind of get out of that comfort zone and now start messing around and maybe sending a massive prospect somewhere to make a World Series push. Didn't want to do that in Milwaukee. Let's see if he's willing to eat $30, $40, $50 million. I don't know why he would be uncomfortable with it. It ain't his money. Like, if I was a GM, the last thing I would be concerned about is money. Like, if I was Cashman or Stearns, you know, you hear about these thresholds and these numbers, more from the Yankees' perspective, obviously. Who cares? Screw that. I'm going out and I'm making the craziest trades, and I'm going to convince, or at least try to, Hal, this is what we got to do. But we will see the level of adaptability for Stearns in the biggest market in the country from a GM chair. It's different. In Milwaukee. Let me get Clem up in Rockland. Clem, what's cooking?
Hey, good morning, BT. So before I get to my Phillies-Yankees thing, a couple of quick things. I hope you play Lotto this week, because how lucky are you that Sal ain't in this week, man. You know, I know you guys both say, you know, you're not jabbing the other teams. Like, you're a Yankee fan, but you ain't jabbing the Mets. And he says he's a Mets fan, he ain't jabbing the Yanks. But I think you both, like, unconscious, subliminally, are jabbing the other team all the time, man. So
I don't look to jab. I look to tell you what's on my mind.
BT. Do you?
You don't seem like you want to accept that, do you?
I almost accept that, like, your apology for getting tossed, man. I kind of do, but I don't really don't, man. It's like I'm on the line there, but you know, that's for another time. All right. So then the other thing is, do you have hair on your back?
No.
Okay, because the other day you were talking about you were at the beach for the weekend and you don't care no more. You know, you're at that age, you just don't care. So I was wondering if you had hair on your back, if you were like one of those guys that just lets a full-grown carpet go and then you're walking down the beach with like this full hairy back, but that ain't you.
I would rather roll around in honey and get eaten alive by red ants than walk around with a hairy back. That is just unacceptable. That is disgusting.
So I'm bald like you, but unfortunately all that hair kind of like moved over to my back. So whenever we plan the beach, my wife got that big lawnmower buzzer right now.
I don't have that. I don't. I'm actually not very hairy. My legs are. I'm just not that hairy, but nothing on the back. Thank God.
Good. Thank God. God bless, man. Because yeah. I mean, it's growing out of my nose, my ears. But nonetheless, no one wants to hear that. So
nasty.
I got these stupid Mets fans. You know what's going to happen, man? How could you root for the Phillies? At the end of the season, we're going to be in second place by one game. They're going to be calling up, bitching, crying, blaming everybody else. But in reality, it's their fault because they're rooting for the Phillies to beat the Yankees. How dumb could you be? And let me tell you something. Lugi is not a generational talent. He's a generational fraud, man. To think for a second that we should be rooting for the Phillies, man. I mean, take that to the bank.
I like Lugi.
Have a great weekend, man. All the love.
You got it. I like Lugi, man. I do. I like him. I like Lugi. He's funny. Yeah, listen. I hate to inform this to everybody, but like, no matter what we say, whether it's real quiet or real loud, it has no influence on what these guys do on the field. None. So I can get on the air and say, you know, if I could almost try to like twist the karma and I could get up for myself, root for the Phillies the next three games, hoping to awaken the Yankees. Doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter what we think. The only thing that does matter is like we stop going to games. That's the only recourse there financially. But the opinions, the takes, some wild, some interesting, some idiotic. I mean, we all have them. You speak enough on the air, it's going to come out at some point. No bearing. Can you play ball? Do you have the right team? Do you have the right manager? Do you have the right GM? Do you have the right owner? Do you have the right star players? That's it.